hooked up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. I'm getting loved up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. Well, I'm loved up, but I'm okay. It's gonna get loved up anyway. You better call back the posse. Just getting loved up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. Getting loved up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Rocker Mike and Rob Presents show. I'm Rocker Mike, top left in the box there. We got Rob Rossi, and we have a special guest today, a returning guest, Mr. Frank Sesich. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right, great, great. Glad to have you back. It's been 3 years since the last time you were on, and that picture right there is you back in the day. It's also the cover of your new book, Not That Way Anymore, about your musical career, little vignettes, little stories about, you know, your whole career going back to the late 60s, mid 60s. I mean, you've had this amazingly long career and you've accomplished so much. I'm just going to mention a few things here. Like, first of all, you were a founding member of the group Blue Ash. You were the bass player in that band, and you also played bass for Stiv Bators in the late 70s and early 80s. And then you played with Jimmy Zero in that version of the Dead Boys, Club Wow in the mid 80s. I mean, you were a founding member of the Deadbeat Poets. You wrote another book 3 years ago. It's about 8 years ago now, called Circumstantial Evidence. So that's just a fraction. You've done a lot.
Yeah, I get around. I've been around.
Yeah. Now you're a Midwest guy. I think you're originally from Ohio. Is that right?
Sharon, Pennsylvania.
Sharon, Pennsylvania. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Lived only about 100 feet from Ohio.
Yeah. I knew it was on the border there.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how you started playing music and, you know, I mean, you came up through that British invasion time. I know that was a lot of influence on you. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was like a lot of kids at that time. My first big influence was the Beatles when they appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. I was 12 years old. And after I saw that, all I wanted to do was be in a band. So I started playing harmonica a little bit because it was cheaper than getting a guitar. And then my mom got me a guitar, started practicing, started my first band called The Electrons in 1965. And right after that, we got a couple other guys in the band. One of them was Jim Kenzer in 1966 when we were junior high, who was the lead singer in Blue Ash. Around that time, I met Stiv Bators, still when we were teenagers at all the teenage dance around Youngstown and Sharon and that. So I was getting really, really into it. And I was in the first Mother Goose band in 1968. We played all summer in Geneva on the Lake in Ohio, which is a tourist resort kind of place. Like Butlin's holiday camps in England, where the people run a cottage for the whole week and stay there. But we were the only teenage band, Mother Goose, on the strip. We played all summer. I quit that, and Stiv eventually became my replacement in Mother Goose and started Blue Ash in 1969.
Let me ask you about Stiv. We're going to bring him up a few times.
Sure.
Today, but, you know, what was he like back in those teenage years? Because he had a reputation of being totally crazy when he was a little older here in New York. What was he like back then?
He was that crazy back then. The first time I ever saw the car surfing on a car was like 1967. And I couldn't believe it, you know.
Yeah.
But he was like that. He was always like that. He came up to me and he said, you know, I'm a harmonica player. And I said, well, I'm going to get a pickup band for this outdoor festival in Newton Falls. This is like 1969, I guess, in the summertime. And he said, I'm a harmonica player. I didn't know he'd played at all. I knew him from hanging out with him. So we bring him on stage, and it was me, Myron Grumbacher, pickup band, played drums. He later played with Pat Benatar and Rick Derringer,
right,
and Steve Acker, who played in Law, and one of the guys from Blue Ash. Anyway, we bring Stiv up on stage, and he would play the harmonica like with his hands. He didn't have a harmonica.
But he sounded play like that, like with his hands over his mouth.
But it sounded just, I can't do it, but he did it. It sounded like a harmonica. And we did some Stone stuff, Yardbirds and things like that. So finally, he took a mic stand, he threw it up in the air, and it hit him on the head coming down. So he started bleeding all over. And while he's bleeding, he takes this can of whipped cream, starts shaking it in his crotch, shoots it all over the audience. Then he's mixing the whipped cream with the thing. Well, people went nuts over him. They thought he was crazy. So he got a really big reputation from that. I took him to the St. Elizabeth Hospital to get 10 stitches in his head because he really cracked his head open.
Oh, wow.
But that was his first real appearance on stage. And then later he went on to be in the Mother Goose Band. And that formed into... And then he got Frankenstein and into the Dead Boys when he went to
Cleveland. Right. Frankenstein was like the precursor to the Dead Boys. Yeah.
So we got your
book right here. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I read this and it's fantastic. Not that way anymore. It's on High Voltage Publishing. It's on Amazon. It's in Barnes and Noble stores. Where else is it at right now?
Get Hip has it. And then a lot of people order through Get Hip as a distributor. So you can get bulk qualities through them and you can get it through Amazon or High Voltage. I know a lot of stores around Youngstown got boxes of them. I'm going to do a big book signing and play some acoustic stuff on Saturday at Leanna's Books and More. And she has three big stores in Western Pennsylvania and Ohio. And so that'll be pretty cool. But you can order a whole box. You order a whole box of them.
I really enjoyed the book. Your last book, Circumstantial Evidence, we had you on 3 years ago about that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that as well. But, you know, it's funny. Like, I didn't see another book coming, okay, you know, with that. I thought you pretty much had it all down. But there was a lot of things in here that you say in the book that you had to leave out. So was that just the impetus to make this, just to try to get all the stories out, or what was the impetus to make this?
Yeah, I still had a lot of stories. And George Matzkoff from at the beginning of last year in January got a hold of me. He goes, I'd like to have you write, you know, the first book. He goes, we made money on it. It was a success. Why don't you write four more books for me in the next 5 years? And I go, whoa, I don't know. And then I thought about it. And I said, okay, I'll do it. So. This book is half about the stories from 2015, when I left off of the book, till nowadays, going to Spain and everything. Then another half is old stories I remembered.
Yeah.
But the next book is going to be about Steve Bader's solo years and Teresa Kariakis, who did all the photos for like the Disconnected album. And during the Cold Outside Sessions has tons of photos no one's ever seen. And she and I are going to write anecdotes for it. So it'll be a photo book of Steve, the very rare pictures in that. So that'll be coming out next. We're going to start on that the first of the year. And then I'm going to write a book about the bands of Northeast Ohio in the 1960s and 70s called Cars, Guitars, Rubber, and Steel. Right now is a tentative title because everybody either worked in a car factory here or a steel mill or a rubber plant or was in a band in the 60s. So I'm going to... There's a lot of great bands, and I'll do chapters on Stiv and everything, too. And I have some more stories about Stiv that were left out of this book because I think George wants to put him in the Stiv book where it's for him. So that's fine, too. I'm all right with that. So that'll be cool, too.
All right. Well, definitely.
Last will be, but those are my two new projects with that.
Right. I'm definitely looking forward to all that. And, of course, you're always welcome to come on and talk about whatever you're doing.
Oh, I will.
Now, I like I said, I really enjoyed a lot of, you know, all of this book. And there was one particular story I was going to ask you to kind of elaborate on a little bit more. And that was the making of the DOA movie.
Yeah.
Okay. You go into that a little bit. I think you mentioned it in your last book, too. But just go into a little detail how that got made, because that's kind of such a cult classic. I've seen it so many times. And you know. Just what went into making that? How'd they get in touch with you? How'd they get you to do it? You know, all that.
Okay, it was really strange. Like on a Wednesday, I got a call from Steve, and I had already been doing the solo stuff with him, but I hadn't done any Dead Boys things with him.
Right.
And he said, we have a gig in Toronto, 3 days there, and they're going to film the DOA, our bit in the DOA movie in it. He goes, but Jeff Magnum doesn't want to do it. Would you want to do it? And I said, yeah, I could do it, but I don't know any of the songs. He goes, well, you have all the albums. Just learn them tonight. He goes, I got a plane ticket for you tomorrow morning at the Youngstown Airport. So I learned all the songs. They practiced one day with them, and then we flew to Toronto to do that. And which was funny because I had played a lot in Canada with Blue Ash, and you always needed work permits and all this stuff, manifests of all your equipment. You had to put deposits down on guitars and everything to go there. And so I'm flying and I'm sitting with Cheetah in the plane. I said, Cheetah, you have all the work permits and everything? He goes, I don't have anything like that. Like, well, we're going to get in trouble when we get there.
Typical so, Cheetah Chrome.
Yeah, but this is how great Cheetah's vibe is, though.
Yeah.
So we get to there and this younger guy comes up. We're ready to go through customs. He goes, oh, this is a dead boy. He goes, I'll take you guys. Come on over here. And Cheetah goes, we need some work papers or anything? He goes, oh, no, hell no. The guy goes, just put me on the guest list tonight. So there's Cheetah just walks right in. Any other time, I'd be there with Blue Ash. We'd be there 8 hours. Well, they dismantle right. All of our equipment, searched every nook and cranny of the amplifiers for drugs or whatever. And we just walk right in with Cheetah, which I thought was funny. So we ended up doing the Oriental Rock Palace for 3 days. And the last day, there was a huge, huge fight. And the cops came, paddy wagons and everything, dragged everyone out. And one guy really got the shit beat out of him. And he was a cop. He kept screaming at the cops. He goes, I'm a cop. I'm a cop. He finally brought his badge and they're beating him up because I was trying to stop the fight. He was just at the show. But then they filmed it for that. And I never knew any more about it until the movie came out. I mean, they paid us for it and everything. But
yeah.
I didn't think about it. Then like a year or so later, the movie came out.
I mean, the film is famous for all the live stuff, but also it's famous for the Sid and Nancy footage in there.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You know, that was not too long before, you know, that whole disaster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know? Yeah.
But that's cool. I mean, it's archived forever, you know, your position in that band and everything. There isn't a lot of footage of you guys out there, and that's some great stuff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff's been surfacing lately. There's a really cool one from Philadelphia at the Hot Club in 1980.
Yeah.
If you ever do that, go for the Dead Boys, that one's really cool. And then a lot of mine and Stiff Cable shows and stuff are surfacing all over the place.
What'll always be a favorite of mine, if not my all-time favorite of you guys, is the Uncle Floyd footage.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. For those who don't know, if you're not from the Northeast, Uncle Floyd was a show on UHF channels back in the late 70s, early 80s. It actually carried on, I think, through most of the 80s. In New York, he was on, I think, U68. Remember U68, Bob?
Yeah, that's ancient, man. That's like,
that's it.
If you're under 40, you probably don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Okay. But, you know, there used to be UHF channels, which was beyond Channel 13. Okay?
Yeah.
And this was a show that that was just like a comedian, Uncle Floyd, with all these wacky characters. And he would have musical guests on, and it would be nuts. Like, he'd have the Ramones on, you know, like, just like, I got turned on to so many things through Uncle Floyd. It's like hilarious. But I still remember seeing you guys. And I really, you know, I was like about, I want to say, what was that, 79, 80?
1980. We did the show twice, yeah.
Right, you did it twice. Yeah. I remember the one where you did It's Cold Outside and Not That Way Anymore.
Yeah, that's floating around the internet, too, on a bootleg. You can see that. And every time he sees it, he tries to stop it or shuts the people down and put it up. Right. But we had a lot of fun on that show. That was for sure. And then we did it again at Christmas time of 1980 with the Disconnected Band.
Right. That's when the album was released. And, you know, I was going through some notes yesterday, and I think we picked a good time for this show because 43 years ago tomorrow was the actual release date of Disconnected.
Yes. And the day John Lennon got shot.
That's right. Same day. Same day. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
That was insane.
Yeah. That is
when we got to New York, we did a tour right after that. About a week later, we got to New York and we went up to the Dakota Building. Me and Stiv and Brian James was with us on that tour. Yeah. And we saw all the flowers. There were just thousands of flowers all over the sidewalk and everything.
I remember that.
It was crazy. And people crying and still mourning a week later.
People still mourn now. You know, people every year they congregate at the Strawberry Fields area by Central Park.
They still do that.
It's not like it's 20 people. It's like a few hundred people every year.
Crowds, I've seen that.
Yeah, Yeah.
You know that Yoko Ono still go to the parole board meeting every year.
She does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's one of the saddest days in history, definitely.
Oh, but, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, conversely, you know, you got your album coming out the same day, which I will always say is one of the best albums of the last 45, 50 years, Disconnected. It's one of my all-time favorite albums.
Oh, thanks so much.
I put it in my top 20. You're up there with Exile on Main Street and, you know, a lot of other great records that, you know, have just standed the test of time. I'm not just kissing your butt there. I'm serious.
I get more mail and fan mail and, you know, people messaging me on Disconnected than anything else I've ever done. And I get that daily.
Really?
People from Spain or Australia, somebody will come up and say something about Disconnected or post a thing. 5 minutes before we got on here, somebody posted from Spain a picture of me and Stiv on there from the Not That Way Anymore. Just posted the picture and tagged me on it. That happens every day.
Right.
Which is amazing. So a lot of people must really like it. I know it always sold well in Europe.
Yeah,
and it's been, you know, reissued and still in print all over the place in many countries.
Yeah, I know that I had a French CD forever that had the Disconnected, and I think it had a live Dead Boys thing on it as well. You're right. The European imports were really the only way to get it for a long time. You know, once Bomp put it out, it kind of, by the late 80s, it was kind of hard to find that record. And then the imports, once CDs got popular, the imports started putting it out again. And now it's, who puts that album out now? Just curious. Who's
Bomp still has reissued a bunch of them. Line Records in Germany has it. I know they've issued different things. Vivid Sounds in Japan has issued a bunch of different. Sometimes they'll issue them with extra live tracks, like you were saying, or different things. You know, they come in all kinds of combinations. But that's out everywhere still. You can get it
in South America, because American music does very well in South America.
Oh yeah, I have a lot of fans in South America. I've just done a few interviews down there too, in Brazil and everything, and they love the stuff down there.
They love this stuff. Like, they go crazy. They can still sell out in stadium with 100,000 people. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Billy Joe Armstrong, Green Day's real big down there. Huge. Really big everywhere. But he recorded mine and Skibbs Not That Way Anymore, that song.
Yeah, a couple years ago.
During COVID. Mm-hmm. And that was released all over the world, too. I get some nice royalty checks out of that. So that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, you mean you definitely deserve that. Now, prior to being, you know, working with Stiv, you of course started Blue Ash back in 69, I believe.
Yes.
You know, tell us a little bit about that band, because that band now has I think rose to like cult status level. Okay.
Yeah,
you know, probably always was, but I hear so much more about Blue Ash in the last maybe 5 years than I ever heard before.
Oh, yeah. And you guys are going to hear a lot more. First of all, this thing's just been released. It's our first album, and they've done it on Blue Vinyl.
Blue Vinyl, cool.
Yeah, wow. No more, no less. Get Hip has that and is distributing it all over the United States and all over the world. But there's going to be a Blue Ash album of rarities coming out called Dinner at Mr. Billy's from Peppermint Productions, where we did all of our tapes. And when the Not Lame Blue Ash double CD thing came out in 2004, I went over to Peppermint to find out what we had there. And this Peppermint's still a going concern, going recording CD, but they had all the tapes. And we found 219 Blue Ash tapes.
Wow.
So we used 44 of them for that, but there's still tons of great stuff. And they still keep finding things. This album called Rat Race was just put out last year, and it's a compilation of different Youngstown people from Peppermint Productions, Left End, The Law, Human Beings. You might have heard of some of them, Glass Heart. But they put a really rare Blue Ash one on there. But that will be coming out in the first of the year sometime. I know on December 17th, we're going to have a final meeting and pick all the songs and everything. So that's going to be cool. So Blue Ash will be back in the news there. Also, they're going to do Club Wow on vinyl.
Oh, that definitely needs to be cool. That needs to be re-released, definitely.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of noise about Blue Ash in the next. And also, I don't know if you know this, but there's a big hit series on Amazon Prime this year called Daisy Jones and the Six.
Yes, I haven't seen it. People keep telling me to watch it, that I would like it. It's about a band, right?
Really, really good. But in the first chapter of it, they have 10 different sessions of it, you know, where they do it. And they use the Blue Ash song, Hazel Jane, in there, which is amazing. So I've been getting stuff from all over the place from that thing, because it was a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
Reese Witherspoon bought the rights to it. Then they made the movie during the COVID and all that. And the movie just came out, and it's in 10 parts, and it's up for 9 Emmy Awards in January.
That show looks great.
I've heard nothing but good things about that show. I have to watch it. I admit I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, the part where Blue Ash comes to watch. Is pretty cool, because she's just has slept with like a Jim Morrison type character.
Yeah.
She's like 15 years old, and she's decided she's going to be a pop star. So she's writing in her diary, and as she's writing in her diary, you hear Blue Ash start coming with the heavy drums.
Yeah.
Then they segue to Pittsburgh, 1970, and it's this other band, the Dunn Brothers, who she ends up being famous with. And it shows what's going on with them and how they end up meeting in California. But it's pretty cool, because whoever picked the music really knew the Blue Ash was playing in Pittsburgh in 1970. So they really had the history down pat on it.
They were accurate. That's good. I like
it. Yes.
Yeah, it was excellent. It was an excellent show. I see it all. It's easy to watch. Like, if you start watching, you can binge the thing easily.
Oh, yeah. I loved it, Rob. I thought, wow, this is great. And it was so great that they used Blue Ash. So that gave us a lot of notoriety, and it'll give us more when the Emmys come out, too.
That's very cool. It's very cool. I mean, for people that don't know Blue Ash, I would kind of describe them as like, you know, like proto power pop type music. Maybe if you're a fan of Big Star, you're gonna like Blue Ash. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, we were always mentioned in the same breath as Big Star, Raspberries, or Bad Singer.
Raspberries, definitely.
Same time.
That's not a bad group to be mentioning.
Yeah, I've never minded being hooked up with them. So we did a lot of gigs too with Raspberries. We opened up for them many times. I met Big Star at Max's Kansas City when Blue Ash was on Mercury, and we hung out with them, and that was a lot of fun. And I met a couple of guys from Badfinger in England in 1970.
Great band. Yeah. You guys, like, if you put, if you know, a great mixtape would have been Badfinger, Raspberries, Big Star, and Blue.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you guys.
You know? That's like the Poptopia tape that came out on Rhino in the 1990s.
Yeah.
We're all together there, Todd Rundgren and the Wreckers, who covered Blue Ash's Abracadabra, Have You Seen Her, too. They were a good band in that era.
Yeah, that's a story that I know you still do that song live, right? Abracadabra.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I even do it in my acoustic shows. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. So we have one thing in common that I think is very cool, me and you. We're both in a Danny Garcia movie. Not the same one, though.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
You were in the Stiv Bader's No Compromise, No Regrets movie. And I was just in his last film, which is called Ghosts of the Chelsea and Other Rock and Roll Stories. I have a little part where I tell a ghost story towards the end of the film.
That's cool. I've got to see that one. That's on my list to see as soon as I can.
It's not streaming yet. It will be probably by the middle of next year. I think you'll be able to see it on Netflix or something.
It was very good. It was excellent. Excellent documentary that they did about the Chelsea Hotel.
Yeah.
And Ghost Story. It was very well done.
Danny's a good director.
I like the Max's one. I have a song in that too, and a photo in that I took of David Evans, Blue Ash's drummer at Max's.
Yeah.
In the movie. And I have a song called Sunglass City in that one that's played the entire time when I don't know if it's Alice Cooper talking. One of somebody was talking there, but it's in
I think Alice is giving some narration on something. That was amazing that he got Alice for that.
That's real cool.
Very cool. I wasn't expecting that when we first saw it. But you were in the Stiv Bader's No Compromise, No Regrets, which I'm so grateful to Danny Garcia for even just going out on a limb and making a film about Stiv. It's something that should have been done so long ago, and it's just been, you know, he finally did it, you know, and it's such a great film. There's so little stuff about Stiv out there, and you know, he just really needs to be looked at, you know.
It was funny because I helped procure some of the footage for that, and a lot of my friends Bob Keir and Kevin Keir had that old footage of the Dead Boys in Frankenstein, so they got that all together, which really made the film because no one had ever seen that stuff. And the Mother Goose footage, with the sacrificial virgin, Karen Wagner was a fan of ours. I had known about that stuff forever and knew it was around, but I'm glad we could procure all that stuff. And those guys let us use it and everything. So it made the film really unique in that way. And I loved doing it. It was a labor of love the whole time doing that.
Sure. So
Danny's a great guy.
Danny's a class act.
Yeah, he is.
You know, Mike Schnapp, DJ Uncle Mike, he's great too. I don't know if you met him. He's been involved at a producer level for Danny, and he starred in one of Danny's like spaghetti westerns that he did.
Yeah. Okay. You know? Yeah.
He's a good guy. We've become Rob and me. We've all become close with the two of them. The other thing you were involved with was the other Danny Garcia movie about Brian Jones, Rolling Stone, Life and Death of Brian Jones. You contributed the song to that, right? I think.
Yeah, it's the Deadbeat Poets song, Riding the Dog, in there. And it's played, the entire song is played. And that one is in a cool part of it because that's when they were interviewing the Pretty Things.
Yes.
And they're telling about, you know, Brian Jones melting their records and all that. So they thought that, you know, pretty funny stories. But Riding the Dog's played during that whole thing there. And it kind of sounds like one of those guys from like 1964 or something, one of those bands.
Yeah.
Either the Pretty Things or something.
I love your Deadbeat Poets band. Are they still active or you guys are done?
We're not done yet, but we have almost a whole album in the can.
Okay.
So with everything else going on, it's been hard to keep up with that. We have a new Blue Ash album in the can too. We need about two or three more songs on that and one or two more songs for the Deadbeat Poets, and that'll be ready to come out.
Well, I know there's at least five or six Deadbeat Poet albums, right?
There's at least six.
Yeah.
Six and like a greatest hits one that was put out in Spain and a greatest hits one. No, not that we had hits, but most popular songs, you know,
most popular ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It's called Strange Tales from the Huston Building is where the studio is. So that's out, and that's out in LP and CD form too.
That's cool. Let me ask you, Frank, what do you listen to these days? Do you listen to any new bands or are you kind of still?
I have a couple favorites and a couple things that are just getting released that have never been released before. I love a band called The Sins from New Jersey.
We know Cindy Dawson. We've had her and Henry on. They're a great band.
Excellent. And they have a new album. This is the last thing they put out. But they have a new one. It's Karmic Destiny. They have a new one coming out on Gem Records in March. And they'll be playing in L.A. too and on tour.
They've been touring like crazy. They went to Europe. They went to, I think, Canada. They went to a bunch of places.
They're a band to watch. I love them. The Jelly Bricks, which have a kind of Youngstown connection, they're always on Little Steven's Underground.
I was just going to say that. I hear them often on that channel.
Yeah, they're absolutely excellent. Another cool thing, you guys will like this. This is this guy is called Gary Delvecchio, and he's from our area here, Warren and Youngstown. Steve knew him real well and hung out with him.
Right.
But Gary made this record 50 years ago, but it never got released. And the funny thing is about Gary, he was in Paul Nelson's office at Mercury Records when Blue Ash's demo tape came in the mail, and he saw it on the stack of hundreds of tapes there and told Paul to listen to it. And Paul listened to it and loved us and signed us up from that. So I owe Gary an awful lot, but this is kind of cool. It's like a lost treasure. And as soon as I knew this was out, I bought one. So they're on... the name of the label is Riding Easy Records. It's Gary Delvecchio. It's like Pink Floyd right out of 1968. People will love it if they get it. It's a great party album. It's
the Barrett era, right? You're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I've been listening to. This has been on my turntable, That and the Sins, the last couple weeks here. So that's pretty much what I listen to now.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to get, I think I'm an avid listener to Little Stevens Underground Garage. I think I've heard Blue Ash on there several times.
Oh, yes. They've been playing that lately because I got some royalty checks from that. So I know that. I didn't hear it.
I think I've heard either it was Palmyra Del Ran or Bill Kelly playing it.
Yes, Palmyra plays a song called Magic Words that will be on this rarities thing coming out for Blue Ash. It's a really good song. It's like an old Searcher song or something I wrote a long time ago. And they play Abracadabra, Have You Seen Her, as well.
Yes, I've heard that on there, too. That's cool. Yeah. So what do you have going on tour-wise coming up?
Well, right now, I had a really rough year this last year. I had a lot of sicknesses and everything. I had some heart problems and aneurysms. But I'm starting to feel a little bit better. I'm doing a book signing this weekend. After the first of the year, I want to go get up to New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, and Boston, do some book signings, some just acoustic shows like I do. I'm going out in the spring with the Ghetto Blasters from Tennessee, and I toured with them in 2019 twice. So we're going to do the South, I think, and the East Coast again, maybe the Midwest. And then I'm going to try to get out to Las Vegas. I have an offer to go out there, and to L.A. and Colorado, which I have never played as a solo artist. And I would love to do that.
You've never played L.A. as a solo artist?
No, never been there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Tell us about the Ghetto Blasters a little bit. You hyped them quite a bit.
They're a good band. They remind me of a punk band, like Dylan's backing band, The Band, and The Band. You know? They're kind of really good musicians, and they have really good two guitar attack and everything. But they got a hold of me, and I get up with them. I tour with them. I do three or four songs, Evil Boy, Circumstantial Evidence with them backing. And I do an acoustic set before that. Then they do their set. So it's kind of a nice little show like that. But they're just excellent musicians. They're located out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Cool. They've got a bunch of records out. Check them out. You really like them.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do that.
Yeah.
So, all right, Frank, I want to thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. I had a great time again.
Yeah. Everybody got to check out the book. Okay. There it is. Not That Way Anymore. It's a quick read. It's a good read. It's fascinating. There's a lot of great pictures and just great anecdotes. And, you know, you're a good talent when it comes to writing, too.
Oh, thanks. It's a fun book. Both of them have been a labor of love. And
yeah,
I just like to tell all these stories because sometimes I can't believe this all ever happened to me. So there it is.
Yeah, you're a very humble guy, man. That's great. Yeah. You know, it's nice to see people appreciate that kind of, you know, about their lives. You know what I mean? It's good.
Well, thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah. So, all right, everybody. That's Frank Sesich. His new book, Not That Way Anymore, is available anywhere you get books, Amazon, Get Hip, and it's put out by High Voltage Publishing. If anybody has a problem getting the book, just get in touch with me. Or I know, Frank, you're on Facebook, right?
Facebook, Instagram, Barnes & Noble has it too. So that's it.
Yeah. So, Frank, you know what I'll do? I'll put the links to the book to where they can find it on Amazon. I just put a bunch of links when I put up the show.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we'll help promote it for you, Frank.
It's selling like crazy in the first month here. So it's doing really well.
Great. That's great.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thanks again for coming on. I wish you a Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, guys, and Happy New Year. And best of 2024.
All right. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care.
I'm getting lumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. I'm getting lumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. I'm lumped up, but I'm okay. It's gonna get lumped up anyway. You better call back the posse. Just getting lumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. Getting lumped up with Rocker Mike.